Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of Amos. Amos is called one of the minor prophets, but his message is very powerful, and I pray that God will help us to really hear it. We're going to read the first two chapters this morning, and that's where our focus will be. From the book of Amos, this is God's word. The words of Amos, who was one of the sheep breeders from Tekoa. What he saw regarding Israel in the days of King Uzziah of Judah and Jeroboam, son of Jehoash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. He said, "The Lord roars from Zion and makes his voice heard from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds mourn, and the summit of Carmel withers. The Lord says, 'I will not relent from punishing Damascus for three crimes, even four, because they threshed Gilead with iron sledges. Therefore, I will send fire against Hazael's palace, and it will consume Ben-Hadad's citadels. I will break down the gates of Damascus. I will cut off the ruler from the valley of Anon, the one who wields the scepter from Beth-Eden. The people of Aram will be exiled to Kir. The Lord has spoken. The Lord says, 'I will not relent from punishing Gaza for three crimes, even four, because they exiled a whole community, handing them over to Edom. Therefore, I will send fire against the walls of Gaza, and it will consume its citadels. I will cut off the ruler from Ashdod and the one who wields the scepter from Ashkelon. I will also turn my hand against Ekron, and the remainder of the Philistines will perish.' The Lord has spoken. The Lord says, 'I will not relent from punishing Tyre for three crimes, even four, because they handed over a whole community of exiles to Edom and broke a treaty of brotherhood. Therefore, I will send fire against the walls of Tyre, and it will consume its citadels. The Lord says, 'I will not relent from punishing Edom for three crimes, even four, because he pursued his brother with the sword. He stifled his compassion. His anger tore at him continually, and he harbored his rage incessantly. Therefore, I will send fire against Teman, and it will consume the citadels of Bozra. The Lord says, I will not relent from punishing the Ammonites for three crimes, even four, because they ripped open the pregnant women of Gilead in order to enlarge their territory. Therefore, I will set fire to the walls of Rabbah, and it will consume its citadels. There will be shouting on the day of battle, and a violent wind on the day of the storm. Their king and his princes will go into exile together. The Lord has spoken. The Lord says, I will not relent from punishing Moab for three crimes, even four, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom to lime. Therefore, I will send fire against Moab, and it will consume the citadels of Kiriath. Moab will die with a tumult, with shouting and the sound of the ram's horn. I will cut off the judge from the land and kill all its officials with him. The Lord has spoken. The Lord says, I will not relent from punishing Judah for three crimes, even four, because they have rejected the instruction of the Lord and have not kept his statutes. The lies that their ancestors followed have led them astray. Therefore, I will send fire against Judah, and it will consume the citadels of Jerusalem. The Lord says, I will not relent from punishing Israel for three crimes, even four, because they sell a righteous person for silver and a needy person for a pair of sandals. They trample the heads of the poor on the dust of the ground and obstruct the path of the needy. A man and his father have sexual relations with the same girl, profaning my holy name. They stretch out beside every altar on garments taken as collateral, and in the house of their God they drink wine obtained through fines. Yet I destroyed the Amorite as Israel advanced. His height was like the cedars, and he was as sturdy as the oaks. I destroyed his fruit above and his roots beneath. And I brought you from the land of Egypt and led you 40 years in the wilderness in order to possess the land of the Amorite. I raised up some of your sons as prophets and some of your young men as Nazirites. Is this not the case, Israelites? This is the Lord's declaration. But you made the Nazirites drink wine and commanded the prophets, do not prophesy. Look, I am about to crush you in your place as a wagon crushes when full of grain. Escape will fail the swift. The strong one will not maintain his strength. The warrior will not save his life. The archer will not stand his ground. The one who is swift of foot will not save himself, and the one riding a horse will not save his life. Even the most courageous of the warriors will flee naked on that day. This is the Lord's declaration. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. God's people had been split already into two separate kingdoms, Judah in the south, Israel in the north. We've talked about that before. But now here is a message from a guy who's from the south preaching to the people in the north. And when God sends him with this message, let's just say it was not well received. I rejoice in the fact that God has blessed this nation in an extraordinary way. If you study our history as a country, you will find that there's a lot to be grateful for. There are many times when God intervened in a miraculous way and spared us and gave us success against overwhelming odds against us. We have been blessed. But you know what? These people, Israel, had been blessed. And that's what God tells them. He said, I did this for you, and I did this for you, and I did this for you. But your response to my blessing was to just do what you want and ignore what I say. In this country, our country, we have three branches of government. The judicial branch is our courts. The executive branch is the presidency and those offices that are a part of that administration. And then there's Congress. Congress is divided into the Senate, which has two representatives from each state, and the House of Representatives, where people in various parts of each state can send someone to represent them. The House of Representatives. This past year, in the House of Representatives, there was an effort to make it so that if a child was born alive while a doctor and the child's mother were seeking to get rid of the child by abortion, if the child ended up being born alive, then once that child was born, it was entitled to medical care, life-saving medical care. You take care of that child. Well, that was defeated. That was defeated, which is tragic and evil. But the House of Representatives did not stop there. They passed a law. Now, it hasn't been signed into law yet, don't worry. Kittens are still endangered. But they passed a law in the House that said kittens which are used for medical experimentation and then euthanized, that is, put to death, those kittens should not be put to death. We need to protect the kittens that have been the subject of experiments. Try and process that. Babies, we don't have to do anything to save. Kittens, got to protect the kittens. And I'll tell you something about our country. There is deep division in our country. There were people who were horribly upset about the way that Congress behaved. But there were also politicians giving each other high fives. There were people who love thumbing their nose at God. There is no sane reason why public libraries all over America, not all public libraries, but public libraries in various places all over America, have decided it's a really good thing to invite cross-dressers to come and read children's stories. So you invite the children to come into the library, and we're going to have a man in a dress with makeup on who is not trying to even hide the fact that he's a man in a dress with makeup on. These are not, I wonder if that's a man or a woman. It's a man in a dress with makeup on. And they're going to do story time for the kids. And this is something that's considered really wonderful. And local governments, it's not just the libraries, it's local governments are promoting that all across our country. Folks, if you hear the thunder, you should know that there's a lot of energy and that lightning is associated with that. And if you see what is happening in our country, not just people doing bad things, but governments celebrating bad things, something should go off as a warning in your head and heart. It's not a matter of ignorance. It's a matter of rebellion. In the book of Revelation, it says that when the people knew that the things they were suffering were the punishment, the wrath of God, rather than repent, they cursed God. They cursed God. Why? Because the problem is not that people don't know better. They know better. But the heart is deceitfully wicked above all else. Who can know it? It's beyond comprehension just how bad the human heart is. Every now and then I hear somebody talking about something that's happened and they say, well, yes, it just restored my faith in humanity. I'm thinking, you are clueless. You are clueless. Study history. You want to see what humans can do? Study the Holocaust. Oh, that was horrible, wasn't it? Yes, it was horrible. But actually, Hitler didn't kill as many as Stalin did. Really? Yes. Deliberately starving people to death. That wasn't the only way he killed them, but it was one of his favorites. He was a mass murderer, and he was our ally in World War II when we were trying to stop Hitler. So Stalin's really the horrible villain. Well, actually, Stalin did kill a lot more than Hitler, but Mao killed a lot more than Stalin. Really? Yes. Go back and study your history. And then there have been petty tyrants who didn't have as big a population to persecute. But that was of no comfort to the people in Cambodia when Pol Pot was slaughtering his people. It was of no comfort for those who suffered under Idi Amin. And if you look at Rwanda, you see what happens when it's not the government. It's the people who turn on each other. Let me just tell you something. The human heart is wicked. And the only hope for any of us is the mercy of God. We say, well, I would never, never do anything like that. Well, good. I hope you wouldn't. But if you wouldn't, it is because God has done a work in your heart. Because the fact of the matter is, it's not just those people out there who are the problem. Amos starts out by talking about God's judgment on Israel's neighbors, Damascus. God says, I will not relent from punishing Damascus. And the people said, all right, go God. Those are bad people. You get them. The Lord says, I will not relent from punishing Gaza. Oh, the Philistines, they've always been a mess. Go get them, God. Take out the Philistines. Destroy them. The Lord says, I will not relent from punishing Tyre. Yes, good. I've wanted to see Tyre get it. The Lord says, I will not relent from punishing Edom. Yes, good. The Lord says, I will not relent from punishing the Ammonites. Well, they are bad. There is no denying that. The Lord says, I will not relent from punishing Moab. Good. Go get them, God. And then he says, the Lord says, I will not relent from punishing Judah. And this guy's from Judah. He's talking about his own country. That must have been a surprise to the people of Israel where he was preaching. This guy is saying God's going to judge Judah. Wow. They're the ones who have the real temple. We're up here in Israel with a couple of substitutes. But he hadn't gotten to Israel yet. And when he gets to Israel, he really unloads. There's a whole lot more about God's judgment on Israel, starting in chapter 2, verse 6, going all the way through the end of the chapter. And then, believe me, when we pick it up next time, God's going to talk about why. Later in the book, we'll see that the king of Israel tells him, go home, go back to Judah. We don't want to hear what you've got to say up here. This is demoralizing. You're making it hard for us to keep a positive outlook. We were about to shoot off fireworks and have band music, and you come unload this message on us. Actually, they weren't about to shoot off fireworks. They probably did have band music, but that isn't what he said. But that's the kind of thing he said. He said, you're destroying morale. We don't want to hear it. I've had friends recently given bad news about their health. Was that unkind of the doctor? Or was the doctor doing the loving thing and warning them so that steps could be taken to try and save their life? God gives his word, calling people to repentance. Say, okay, well, so obviously Judah and Israel needed to repent. Okay, well, let me tell you something. Be sure you get this. This is why we're preaching this book. Oh, no, he's going to say, America needs to repent or we're going to be judged. Yeah, America needs to repent or we're going to be judged. But that's not all. It's not just us. I'm from the United States of America, and I will declare that God is calling us to repentance. But that's not all. God is calling people everywhere, all around the world. It is not a matter of this nation or that nation or this nation or that nation. Wherever On earth, there are people. There will be judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And when Jesus comes again, he's not going to be a beautiful little child. When he comes again, he's going to be riding on a war horse. He's going to come in the clouds, and it is going to be a very bad day for those who are not his. The Bible tells us, woe to those who say, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, looking forward to it and not knowing him. Now, if you know Jesus, when Jesus comes again, hallelujah. We've been praying, Maranatha, come quickly, Jesus. We long to see him. But let me tell you, if you don't know Jesus, it'll be too late to be getting acquainted in hopes that things will work out for you. They won't. They won't. And that's why I'm telling you, it is not enough to know the truth. The devil knows the truth. I refer you again to the book of Revelation, where the people, knowing that God's wrath was being poured out, refused to repent. They would not turn. Why? Because their heart is hostile toward God. I want to just ask you honestly before the Lord this morning, how is it between you and the Lord? You see, it's not enough to know that it's true. How will you respond to him? God is calling people everywhere to repent. God is calling people all around the world. And let me tell you, the great news is there are more Christians on the earth today than ever before. People say sometimes, I see these articles saying that Christianity is dying out. No, churchianity is dying out in the West. But in the places where the church is being persecuted, where Christians have to put their lives on the line in order to stand for Jesus, the church is growing. In places where the government has gone in and bulldozed churches and shut down house churches, the church is growing. More people are coming to faith because they see the reality of a faith that is not afraid of death and therefore not afraid to really live, not afraid to really love, not afraid. Jesus is drawing people to himself. He is saving his people all over the world. We need to pray for those who are putting their lives on the line. We need to pray for people who are suffering. And we need to realize that right here in our country, things may get really, really tough real quick. Because the fact of the matter is, for all the folks in this land who genuinely love the Lord, there are tons of people who fit very well with the description that we read in the book of Amos. Those who are at ease in Zion. You want to know about the wrath of God? Read Romans chapter 1. It starts with God saying, have it your way. I'm letting you go. Do your own thing. And what follows in Romans 1:18 and following is a description of modern culture. That's what it looks like when God begins to pour out his wrath. But that's not what it ends like. What it ends like is the lake of fire. Those who do not wake up and repent will be destroyed in permanent, everlasting torment. I don't want you to end up there. And that's why I'm pleading with you. Repent. And ask Jesus to save you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
www.wearsvalleyranch.org.